Can I get the Sunday school class, 9 to 12, to come up?
Thank you.
Jesus got a hold of my life, and he won't let me go. Jesus got into my heart, he got into my soul.
Is it really?
Oh, I used to be oh so sad, but now I'm just free and glad. Oh, Jesus got a hold of my life, and he won't let me go. Jesus got a hold of my life.
Tried to act happy, but I wasn't free within. I fooled a lot of friends of mine. They thought I had some peace of mind. But I never had a thing until I opened up and let Jesus in. Oh, because Jesus
got a hold of my life. Won't let me go. Jesus got into my heart, he got into my soul. Well, I used to be oh so sad, but now I'm free and glad. Since Jesus got a hold of my life, and he won't let me go.
fight your way through life, but you're not gaining ground. Why not try the Lord today? Just ask Him in your heart to stay, and you'll find Jesus loved me the greatest thing you ever found.
Because Jesus got a hold of my life and He won't let go. Yes, Jesus got into my heart, He got into my soul.
Because
Jesus got a hold of my life and He won't let me go. Jesus got into my heart and He got into my soul. Well, I used to be oh so sad, but heart to stay. Well, you'll find Jesus' love will be the greatest thing that you've ever found. Oh, Jesus got a hold of my life and He won't let me go.
Free and glad
that Jesus.
to be all so sad.
It's good to be here. Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord? It's good to feel His presence and to enjoy fellowship one with another in God. And so I just thankful for what the Lord's been doing in my life and what He's been doing for us all and building faith and confidence in Him. And thankful that we can be enjoy our growth in God, the process that He's put us through and He's putting us through as we go along in life's journey. Thank Him for the good times. And I thank Him for the bad times. You know, they're all good. I appreciate what Brother Smith has taught me in the past, that every experience we experience in this life, to get the most out of it, knowing that God has got a special purpose. What's the Bible say there in Romans 8:28, I believe, is all things work together for the good of them that are called according to His purpose. And so I feel like I'm called to His purpose, and I want to obey Him. You know, obey the Lord. And seek for a heart that can be open and for ears to hear what He's saying to me, and through all that He's letting me experience in this life. And you know, it's a wonderful journey. You know, knowing that He's with us, no matter where we go, no matter what we do, we can have this confidence that He will go with us. Jesus said, "Lo, I will be with you always, even unto the end of the world." So, you know, it's good knowing that. And we can, when if Jesus said it, we can believe it now, can't we? And so I have this confidence that He's gonna take us to the end, you know, and He's gonna make us strong and make us a better person throughout our life and through all that we go through. And so it's good to be here. It's good to be on this journey with you all, and to feel your prayers and your encouragement, and see the experiences you all are going through and how God has given you strength and guidance through them. It's just good to be here on this journey with the Lord. Love you all. So I don't have much to say, but it's good to be here. And
appreciate the prayer request and the offering, Mark.
All right.
Might just mention those things you may not know is
Sister Brenda Norman is sick, and she's actually in the hospital. Her sodium level is just a little above seizure state, so they're testing her. They don't know exactly what's causing it. They are actually saying that she really shouldn't have any guests right now. She needs rest. They're not wanting anybody to visit her right now. Maybe she'll be better in a day or two. But she just somehow or another, and the doctors are pretty concerned because they don't know why her sodium is depleted. So, Brother Elias Cyprian's father passed away Friday evening. And so, pray for that family in the Dominican Republic and La Romana. Who else did we mention? Brother Wayne McGowan, sick today. And others, there you go. Y'all go ahead.
Sister Wilkins is sick. All right, let's pray for her.
Oh, Sister Yvonne's Aunt Susie, she's gone to see her today. And she is improving some, but she's feeling better. But no, she's not out of the woods. They don't really give her any hope with this cancer. And I think she has a colon blockage, and they're feeding her intravenously, but they're not going to put a tube down. So anyway, remember Aunt Susie. She claims this is her home away from home, and she was that same way in the Republic for many years. So she's part of us. We need to remember in prayer.
Yeah, Aunt Susie reminds me of that woman in the Bible. What was it, Dorcas? The woman who was she did a lot of good for her friends, and she was sick, and they come and ask Jesus to pray for her. And it seemed like because of all the good that she'd done, that Jesus had favor towards her. And Aunt Susie, she reminds me of that. Sister Elsie. All right, let's pray for the Ratliff family. Sister Oates.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Okay, we'll pray for that. All right. All right, Brother Kyle. Sister Fisher. Okay. For Brother Ray Valdez. Okay. Let's pray for that need. Yes, Brother Stewart. Okay, he went home. He's going to be going through surgery here in the next couple weeks. Let's pray for that. And so, all right. Any other prayer requests before we take these needs to the Lord? Sister Lisa. A friend in school has heart disease. All right. Yes, and Sister Abraham. Pray for that. Does anybody else have an unspoken prayer request? Yes. All right. Did you have your hand up? Okay. All right. All right. Let's pray for that. All right. Can we have the ushers come forward? Let's all stand.
Brother Weaver,
let's. They keep calling, you know, and asking for prayer. Let's keep them on our hearts and minds. Oh God, thank you, Lord. Oh God, letting us know, oh God, that you care, oh God. We know that your arm is not short, that it can reach down and meet our needs, Lord. We trust in you, Lord, for all these needs, Lord. Oh Jesus, Jesus. Just ask you, Lord, to touch Sister Susie, Lord. Oh, God. Oh, God. Sister Abraham, her family, all these needs, Lord Jesus. Oh, God. Yes, Brother Fleming, Lord. Oh, Jesus, Jesus. Oh, God. Oh, God. Brother Cipriano, oh, God. Jesus, Jesus, Lord. The Dominican work, Lord. Oh, well, thank you, Lord. We just love you, Lord. Praise your name, oh God. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your strength, oh God. Oh God, would you touch us, Lord, today, oh God, in this service, Lord. Jesus, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you. Praise God.
good to be in the house of the Lord today. I appreciate the songs and the appreciate this band. And appreciate their labor and servitude to service. It certainly helps us to locate the Spirit of the Lord. They had that in the song leaders together. Helps us to get our mind girded up on God and the things of the Lord. And I'm thankful for that. That we've learned how to endeavor to locate the channel of what the Spirit is saying. I remember back years ago when I was a young man and I was training for the ministry under my former pastor, and he started me out leading the songs. You remember, you know, we used to have a song leader that I don't know why they never had the piano player lead the songs back then. They had probably trying to find things for different ones to do. And we had a book, you know, sometimes they'd ask you to lead the song service just right when you walked in. So you'd grab a book, one of those old hymnals, and find some of your favorite songs and earmark them so you'd know which ones you was going to sing. But we weren't taught how to follow the Spirit. We weren't taught how to even lean on the Spirit of God. And so the song leaders a lot of times just sing their favorite songs. And, you know, we've given that illustration where we sang one song, you know, and say, how many crowns will be in my, how many stars will be in my crown when I get over yonder, when I get to heaven? And right after that one, we'd sing, no, not one, no, not one. And, we didn't put it together to try to see if we was trying to find the mind of the Spirit. I remember when I first came this way and began to learn how to watch the Spirit, began to lean on the Spirit, look for what the Spirit of God is saying in a service. a lot of people, even visitors, will come in here and they'll see the Spirit of God moving and the Lord touching us in our song service. But a lot of times they don't realize how that come about, how that happens. To learn how to find the channel of the Spirit. You might, a lot of times it's in the words of a song. Other times it's in the spirit that the song carries. It's not always just the words, but sometimes it's the feeling that you get out of it. Not so much the meaning that you're getting out of it. So when I came this way among this people, I began to work on that, to learn it. I started pastoring a church. Actually, I had a little group of people when I came here, and so I've always pastored ever since I've been here. And we just came in this together and started on the job training. We didn't know what we was doing. I remember asking Brother Clyde Patton to take the pressure off of me. Let me off the hook. Let me move to a church and sit down and learn this. And I really got aggravated at him because he wouldn't. I thought everybody would like to have some more saints. And I was willing to move, and I had enough influence. There had been probably some saints moved with me to whatever assembly they wanted us to go to. We we wanted this. But he said, well, Brother Smith, he said, if you was a saint, we'd know what to do with you. But he said, you're not a saint, just a saint, but you're a called man of God. He said, we don't know what God's got planned for you, and we're afraid to put our hands on you. So he said, we're just going to watch you and watch God with you. He said, you just keep coming. I said, well, how do you get in this? He said, well, you just show up and hang around. I'd already learned that you couldn't, you know, they said you can't get voted in it. We don't vote in membership, but you just, if God adds you, the Lord added to the church. It said in the book of Acts, after the day of Pentecost, daily he added to the church such as should be saved. That even gives you an indication some people shouldn't be. Well, it doesn't mean that God doesn't want everybody saved. It just means some people God cannot save, and they shouldn't be. That's something different about us. We're not reaching out to everybody, just anybody, just to try to get them in here, but we're looking for what God's doing with people's lives, who God's adding to the church. We watch that. We're looking for revelation to come to the people of God. And of course, the Lord uses these things, the Spirit of God, music, preaching, the anointed Word of God. That's faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And I remember when we started out, we had home services for quite a while, and I moved some, trying to locate what God wanted to do with me. Some of it I gave up on trying to figure it out and just took care of the natural side, but the Lord got in that. The steps of a good man, the Bible says, is ordered to the Lord. If you're trying to be good, if your heart is to do right, God is going to get in and begin to work in your life. And I was trying to do all that I felt like God wanted me to do. And even though I couldn't locate where He was at in my life, God was taking me through. I look back now and see how God was taking me through a schooling. He was schooling me. But when we first started having services in the building, we finally got a building in Winters, Texas. Sister Yvonne York was the only one in the church, in that little church that could play a piano, and she couldn't play one very good, but she's all we had, and so I dumped the responsibility on her. And all she knew was what, you know, she had came up in churches, Pentecostal churches, but we traveled, we visited churches, and we saw the picture, how this works. And I remember, bless her heart, I put her through quite a strain in the beginning, because I remember right now, it's just as vivid in my mind, when she was on the piano and we were singing, and it's just deader than a doornail. We weren't touching God. The Spirit of God wasn't touching us. And I could tell, you know, she had practiced some songs. Well, at first, she went home, she'd practice songs, and she'd have her three or four songs that she's going to sing in that next service. And we'd come, and she'd play them, and God would bless her. God would bless us, and the Spirit of the Lord would come in. But it came a time, not very long, that God stopped blessing that. It was time for her to learn something different. It's time for her to learn that you need to learn how to be led of the Spirit. That you don't always know when you're practicing home what the service is going to be or who's going to be there. God wants us to learn how to be more spontaneous and be led of the Spirit. So I remember in this particular service, it was so dead, and she sung one song, then she sang another one, and they were all connected. You know, they were all the same kind of song. And I was sitting over there. And of course, I was young and didn't have very much wisdom. And I still need more, but I have more now than I had then, for sure. And I was sitting over there, and she started in on another song, and it was the same old deal, you know. And I just spoke out while she was singing. I said, "God ain't in that. Stop." And she just stopped and looked at me. Of course, it embarrassed her. That's what I mean. I didn't have much wisdom. And I said, "God's not in that line of thought. Can't you tell that? It's dead in here." I said, "Get on something else." She said, "I don't know what to do, Brother Smith." I said, "Just put your hands on the piano keys and shut your eyes and bow your head. And wait on the Lord to put something in your mind, and then trust Him on it and play it. See, let's see, anything will beat what we're doing." So we sat still a minute while she placed her hands on those ivories and bowed her head down. In a few minutes, she looked up and started in a song. And I'm telling you, we didn't get in the first stanza of that, Sister Crow. Heaven come down. God was begin to teach us how to be led of the Spirit. Watch the Spirit. Find the channel of the Spirit. What is the Spirit of God saying to the church today? What are we supposed to receive here today? I appreciate these piano players. They learn how to feel on God. They'll play a song, if God ain't in it, they'll start saying, "Oh God, this ain't gonna work. What do you want, Lord? What am I supposed to do?" They may have to change horses in the middle of the stream, but what we're looking for is the Spirit of God to touch us and that covering of God to come in. Same way with preaching, you know, you don't always know what you're going to do when you get up here. Sometimes I just get up because I just know we got to do something. We've got to get started, and sometimes the Lord puts something in my mind, but then I get up here and that don't work, and I just have to feel around. And, we're taught to watch the Spirit. And Brother Souders, he got that from the Lord way back in the beginning of this work. And he made up two signs. One said, "Watch the Spirit." And another one said, "Watch your Spirit." And so we have to do both. We have to watch the Spirit of God and then watch our spirit. Make sure we're not in a... I remember Brother Clyde Patton telling us in a meeting one time. I don't think either one of these men would mind me telling this, but he was just going over some of these things, and he was telling us men about how to, you know, handle ourselves in the house of God, and how to keep our spirits under control, watch our spirit. He told about how one time he was sitting next to Brother Cornelius Mears in a service, and the service was going on, and he said Brother Cornelius looked over to him. He said, "I'll tell you, I'm just in a bad spirit." He said, I've just got to get up above this. And he said, "But I watched him work on himself and get out of that. And the Spirit of God got on him. He wasn't troubled anymore. He got victory over that." Well, it's one thing to be in a bad spirit. It's another thing not only to recognize it, but admit it and confess it. And I'm thankful today for these things. They may seem small to people when they first hear them, but it's the little things that we do, the song says, that counts with God. Brother Clyde Patton was one of the greatest men in my generation. When I came in, the generation that was in leadership at that time, he was one of the chiefest leaders and greatest men among us. And he told us one time that men asked him often? What do you do that you can account for being successful in the ministry? As you build so many churches and have so much responsibility, what do you do? And he said, I'll tell you, brethren, he said, the truth is I don't do any one big thing or any big things. It's just a lot of little things that I've learned from this ministry that I've put into practice in my life and in my ministry that I found out it works. And he said, it's the little things. The same way the scripture says in the Songs of Solomon that it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. It's also, if you don't do the little things, it's the little wrong things you do many, many times that causes us to miss God and causes us to lose out with God and our spirituality. There's small things that we have to be careful to watch over. It's like I'm saying, if we get to a place that we don't think we have to look for, you know, the more knowledge and the more adept you come at things, you can get to where you can preach without too much help from God, just knowledge alone. And I've watched this. I've seen ministers anoint themselves. I've seen that. I've watched men get up and get started talking. They get in a rhythm and they get in the vein of what they do. Every minister's got a message. He's got an anointing and he's got a general theme that God uses and works through him. And he can get up and he can get in that theme and he can begin to work in a little while. He can get anointed, but there's a difference in anointing yourself and God really anointing you. And so to locate the Lord and for God to come in and really take a hold, that takes working at it. It takes learning how to operate in a way that you're looking for that unction from God. I remember when I first came around this, this covering. I felt a special covering among this people, and I didn't feel just anywhere. And I knew it was special. And when I first came around, God really magnified that to me. I could, in every service I was in, I'd feel a special magnifying of God's covering. And I'd never looked for that. I never was taught to look for that. I never was taught in the ministry of how to watch the Spirit of God and see how it operates. And but I noticed it coming in, and I started out in this feeling like I don't ever want us to have a service without it. I don't want us to, you know, have church without that covering, without that anointing coming in and touching us. Of course, we have had, I'm convinced now that the Lord purposely withholds that covering at times just to see how we'll respond, see how we do. God's interested in knowing whether or not we're going to do this in our own strength or whether or not we're going to locate that connection from heaven. And so I know the Lord trains us in that. Sometimes I think the Lord's watching, but I think he just holds back and just says, I just want to see what y'all will do. Sometimes that's how it is training children. You know, you teach them, you do it for them, you show them, but there comes a time when you say, okay, you do it. And then you see how they do. And most of the time they'll fumble around and they won't be as good at it, of course, as you are, but they have to learn, have to begin to learn. And I've seen the Lord do that. I remember, I've told this before, but it goes along with what I'm saying. The first time that my pastor asked me to be in charge of a service, you know, he was going to be gone. And he turned it over to me. Well, you know, now I had preached to the youth. I talked when he was there some. But I never, you know, just had a service just turned over to me. I mean, I was the whole church. I was just a young man. And I counted that a high thing. So I told my wife, I said, I'm going to the church tonight. This was several days before service. And I said, after work, I'm going to the church, and I'm not going to come home till, you know, I'm going to pray. I've got to get a message for this weekend. And I went and prayed. And the very first night that I prayed, I gave myself several days because I didn't know how long it'd take me to get a hold of God to get a message. And but the very first night that I went there and locked myself in the church, I began to pray and ask God about what about this weekend? What about this service? What do you want me to say? My Lord, an anointing came on me in that church. There wasn't anybody there but just me. And my mind just got flooded with a message. I got me out of, and I never had this happen to me like this. I got me out of, I don't remember if I had it in, with me or if I found it there at the church or what, but it wasn't just a sheet of paper, but it was like a manila, it was the size of a piece of paper, but it was real thick. And so I folded it up in half. And this message, I started preaching it. I got behind the pulpit, Brother Daniels, and I started preaching. Man, I got anointed. I thought, my God, it's a shame they're not here now. I got my pen out, and I knew this was going to be a big, magnificent message. So I wrote real little on this side of the sheet, and I started making myself notes, scripture and verse. And then a few thoughts behind it. And then the next thought would come to me, and I'd preach that. And the thoughts got to coming so fast, I'd say, slow down, Jesus, slow down. I can't get all this wrote down. And I wrote that whole message down on this side of the page and then on this side of the page. And I'm telling you, if anybody would have been there, they'd have heard a masterpiece. You know, it was marvelous what God did. I'm not just kidding. You know, God can even anoint young men. You can get anointed. And how many of y'all remember Brother Philip Fisher? I wasn't even here, but I listened to it here just a couple weeks ago. Was it a Wednesday night that he got up and talked on Jeroboam? And I mean, he sounded like a seasoned preacher. He got anointed in that. And God touched him. He really quickened him. Well, yeah, I've been kind of getting on to him for not helping carrying the load around here. And I don't know what that got in his mind or what, but I know that night the Lord touched him. And anyway, I got touched doing that. Well, when I came back, I didn't come back and pray anymore. I had it. I knew what I was going to preach. And I'll tell you, that weekend when I got up and preached, that same anointing come on me. I had that page opened up. And all that did really was kind of interfere with it, because I'd stop and I'd have to find where I was at in this. But it was in my. Sometimes I'd just go on. I had it. I just went on, you know. But my pastor had always taught me, you know, to have you some notes, and that's how they taught out there. I didn't know you could get up and preach without any notes. I wasn't taught that way. And so He said, I always keep two or three good sermons, your good sermons, in the back of your Bible. Keep, said, because your Bible will be somewhere and somebody asks you to get up and you'll be blank. You won't know what to say. Said, you pull out one of them good sermon notes and said, there you go. You'll have your good message. You know, he didn't have the training to know that not any one of them three good messages might fit. That may not be what God wants that night. And so he wasn't taught how to follow the Spirit like that, although God does, you know, touch them out there like that. God will touch them. I mean, the Lord works with what he has to work with. That, the Lord, even the Scripture says that he gives drink in the land of the dragons. Find me that scripture, some one of you brethren, to give a rain, maybe it is.
He gives
water in the desert. Is that it? Here it is, right here, in Isaiah 43. The beast of the field will honor me. The dragons and the owls. Now, see, dragons and owls are not. That's not spiritual people. Dragons are. Those are world leaders. Those are kings. And owls are birds of the night. That's not a clean animal, but that represents false preachers. But he said, they'll honor me because I give waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert to give drink to my people, my chosen. You see, God has a lot of people, even in the wilderness. There may be somebody out there that's, you know, maybe a minister. He may be an owl. He might hoot it in the night. What was that saying we used to have, son, when we was coon hunting? You know, that whoo, 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 who cooks for you? Who cooks for you all? That's just an old saying that coon hunters had about them. We'd be out there in the night and those owls, and we'd get around them. Well, they'd. Yeah, you can locate turkeys that way, hooting like an owl. They'll go to cackling if they hear an owl. Owls kill little baby birds. You just have a bunch of chickens around your house and you let them hatch a bunch of little babies. I had several guineas when I lived on the farm. I loved to have guineas. They'll kill snakes. You won't have a snake anywhere around your house if you've got a little flock of guineas running loose. And they'll also get they'll pick fleas off of dogs. A guinea, they'll clean up your dogs from fleas. They'll get every flea on the ground and all the little, they'll get the little chiggers too. If you live in the country and you've got a bunch of pestilences around your house, get you some guineas. They'll take care of that. And they'll kill all the snakes. You won't see a snake around the house. But they would have a flock, you know, every once in a while in the springtime, we'd see there's them guineas, and all of a sudden you'd see an old mama guinea, and there would be about 20 little guineas. You know what they do is they all lay eggs in the same nest, and one of them sets on it, and she raises all them babies for them. You women ought to think about that. Anyway, no, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I couldn't resist that.